Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Wiest and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are talking about the absence of God.
And in today's podcast, we believe you will gain a greater eternal perspective and awareness of God's influence in your everyday life.
That's right.
You know, we live in a world that is increasingly hostile to God, the Bible, and anything morally pure or innocent, such as children, and good as defined by God.
That's so true. You know, there has been an attack on the Word of God and Christianity since the church began. And I know here in America we have not suffered like our brothers and sisters in other nations, but the persecution in this country has most definitely been increasing. The goal by the ungodly is to remove all mention of Jesus Christ and the Bible. Now, during the tribulation, the world will experience what it is like to have no godly influence in the earth. Now, by God's grace, millions will be saved during this time, but the salt and light of the church will have been removed.
Good point. You know, the tribulation, that's a good example of what it would be like to experience the absence of God. You know, and Bill, you spent 23 minutes in hell. You actually had a taste of a world that exists right now down deep in the earth that is completely absent of God and his influence.
That's right.
The current hell, or the Hebrew word, Sheol.
I did, and the vision God gave me, 23 Minutes in Hell, that I wrote about in my book, you know, hell is far worse than any words can describe. You know, every day we take for granted the good we experience in this life. You know, if we can move and walk, well, that comes from God. You know, and every breath we take, well, that comes from God. You know, Isaiah 42:5 says, he gives breath to the people upon the earth. God is the one giving us our next breath. Now, the sunshine, the fresh air, our relationships with people we love, our sleep, food, flowers, and our pets, and the list goes on. You know, it's all possible because of the goodness of God. Now, hell is so horrific because God's attributes are not present there. You know, many do not realize that the good we all enjoy is from God. Good doesn't exist apart from him. James 1:17 states, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Now, God prepared hell for the devil and his angels, as Matthew 25:41 states. The word prepared is the word hedomadzo. It is the same word used in John 14:2, where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. God prepares a place for us in heaven. But in God's preparation of hell, he removed all of his attributes or goodness from that place of torment. Now, spiritual death means to be separated from God, and to be separated from him is to be separated from all good. Now, as a consequence, this is the result. Hell is dark because God is light, as 1 John 1:5 states. Hell is only death because God is life, John 1:4. Hell is hatred because God is love, 1 John 4:16. Hell has no mercy because the mercy of the Lord is in the heavens, Psalms 36:5. Hell is only weakness because the Lord is the giver of strength, Psalms 18:32. Hell is loud because my people dwell in a quiet resting place, Isaiah 32:18. Hell has no water because water is the rain of heaven, Deuteronomy 11:11. And hell has no peace because Christ is the Prince of Peace, as Isaiah 9:6 states.
Oh, I love that. You know, the good we experience then is because God allows us to enjoy it while we are here on the earth. As Psalms 33:5 states, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord.
That's right. You know, however, if you want nothing to do with God, then there is a place prepared that has nothing to do with his goodness. His presence is there, as Job 26:6 says, Psalms 139:8, Proverbs 15:11, and Revelation 14:10 and 11 state. in that it is before his face. However, his goodness and his influence are removed. He looks down upon it from heaven, as 1 Kings 8:30 states, Psalms 11:4, Psalms 33:13, Psalms 102:19, Proverbs 15:3, and many others state. Now, of course, God is in all places and sees all. I'm simply saying that he has withdrawn his goodness from hell. You know, Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked." And then in 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9, we read, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So they are removed from his glory, power, and attributes, but they're not out of his sight.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, Bill, there's a commentary that supports that, a commentary critical and explanatory on the whole Bible. And it says, quote, "Cast out from the presence of the Lord is the idea at the root of eternal death. The law of evil left to its unrestricted working, without one counteracting influence of the presence of God, who is the source of all light and holiness."
Oh, that says it well.
You know, so we really don't understand what it will be like to die without Christ.
Right. You know, I experienced the heat, the horrible thirst, the unbearable, agonizing screams of people, and I was gasping for air. The odors were foul and putrid. You know, you're in constant, extreme fear, and you experience torment from the demonic creatures. It's an existence without God. You know, people are also burned with fire. You are alone and hopeless, which is the worst part. Isaiah 38:18 says, "Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth." And we know Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth." They have no hope for him because it's too late. Never again will you know or experience anything pertaining to life. Again, the Bible says God is life. No God, no life. You know, when I was in hell and the demons were tormenting me, I mentioned that I didn't have any blood coming out of the wounds inflicted upon me because Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. There is no life in hell, so there is no blood. You are eternal, so you can't die, but you live forever separated from all life and good, which is from God. You know, it's like you are living a living corpse in hell. It is the most empty, lonely, abandoned, and completely destitute feeling one could ever imagine.
That is the ultimate, you know, experience, having the absence of God, right, being in hell for eternity. You know, Bill, according to Harper's Bible Dictionary, page 365, it says, quote, "The dead are referred to as pale reflections of the men and women they had once been," like Isaiah 14:10 and Ecclesiastes 9:10 refer to.
Right.
And also Matthew Henry's commentary on the whole Bible, page 2346, says, quote, "They shall be always dying and yet never die. Their misery will run parallel with the line of eternity."
Oh, that's so horrendous. You know, the fire in hell is God's wrath that's poured out. The other things experienced are not, but the fire in hell is his wrath, as Deuteronomy 32:22, Ezekiel 21:31, Ezekiel 22:31, and Psalms 89:46 state, and many other verses. And, you know, Dr. Robert Peterson said in his book, Hell on Trial, "God is not present in hell in grace and blessing. He is present in hell not in blessing, but in wrath." You know, and the reason for this wrath is because sin must be punished, as Romans 6:23 states. Now, God took out his anger on sin at the cross as he poured out his wrath on Jesus, as Psalms 22 states, Isaiah 53, Matthew 17:12, Mark 9:12, Luke 9:22, and Luke 17:25 state, and many other verses. However, if we don't acknowledge him and receive him as our Lord, then we take the punishment, as 2 Thessalonians 1:9 and 10 state, 2 Peter 2:9, Revelation 14:10 and 11, and Revelation 20:13 through 15. You know, it's our choice. Again, most of the other things, terrible things in hell are not experienced because of his wrath, but because of his absence, the absence of his attributes and goodness. You know, when some say that hell is only separation from God, as if that is no big deal, we can now grasp what that really means.
So true, Bill. You know, on earth, I know some people have suffered some horrendous things. And these experiences, of course, are not from God. They suffered, though, like a piece of hell on earth.
That's right. They did.
You know, and this doesn't really compare to what some people have suffered, but it just makes me think of when I was a young believer and I backslid and I committed sin, how horrible I felt inside. For that time, I separated myself from God's fellowship and from his presence. It was terrible. I mean, you feel like a dead person walking. Life is no longer filled with peace and joy. That's gone. And it becomes like gray and dark. I'm not sure I'm describing it perfectly, but it is nothing like being separated from God, of course, for all eternity in hell. But it gave me a small taste of removing myself from God's goodness to a degree right. When I was backslidden.
Oh, that makes sense. That's a really good point to bring out. You know, hell was not prepared for man, but for the devil and his angels, as Matthew 25:41 states. God never intended for man to go there. It gives man a free choice, free will. You know, Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He was then buried and then rose from the dead. He did this not so we could live this life in eternity without him, but so that we would receive his salvation and become a part of his family. Even now, he is preparing a place for us in heaven, as John 14:2 states. It is only by man's stubborn will that he rejects the provision God has made for our access into heaven. It is arrogant of man to desire to go to heaven, yet demand his own terms of access. If you want to live in God's house, you come by his way and not your own. You know, as Luke 13:3, John 3:36, John 14:6, Acts 4:12, Romans 10:9-10, and 1 Timothy 2:4-6 state.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Bill. You know, we all need to understand that good things are not just here by a series of coincidental random events, but because they emanate from an almighty, holy, wonderful, that wonderful presence of God.
That's right.
You know, there's lots of scriptures about that, like Matthew 5:45, Luke 6:35, Colossians 1:16, and others.
That's right. You know, many look at the trees, the sky, the ocean, and so forth, and comment, isn't Mother Nature wonderful? Well, no, that's not Mother Nature. That's Father God who provided all this beauty we enjoy.
Yes, and so true. And, you know, Romans 5:8 says, and I love this scripture, it says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Praise the Lord. He's so wonderful. You know, salvation is a free gift only through Jesus Christ. However, we must receive it in order to be saved. God loves you and is a good father. He is trying to keep you out of hell and to divert you from your misguided course.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.